The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it very much. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin here from Bar Canada, the D in lovely downtown majestic, downtown Las Vegas. Majestic. Nothing short of majestic. Still to come, Aaron Schatz, the creator of DVOA, who applies his trade over at FTN Sports now. We'll talk about the Ravens and the Niners, historically speaking, what he feels about the championship games this weekend. Where do the Lions and Chiefs stack up vis-a-vis the Ravens and the Niners? And Jason Weingarten, did I mention? Yes. And, of course, we'll also get to him. Mike Pritchard, standing by. Pritch, please, coming up momentarily. I just want to let you know, Kelly, yesterday, in between the... So I watched the Yastrzemski match, hit the big plus 179 dog, then watched Medvedev or Kotz go over. In between the Medvedev or Kotz match and the late night match between Zheng Xianwen and Kalinskaya, I had some time. I started watching this movie on Netflix, Society of the Snow. Society of the Snow is 30 years after the movie Alive came out, 1993. The movie Alive, for those of a certain age, you said your dad loved that movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's a famous movie about a true story, which I didn't know about the true story at the time I saw Alive, the 1972 Uruguayan rugby team flew. They were trying to fly to Chile, and they crashed in the Andes Mountains. And the story goes from there, and it's this amazing, unbelievably harrowing, joyous, not joyous really, but just like this amazing story at the end. It wasn't joyous. Many people died, but some survived. So it's... This one, I just was watching this last night. This one is such a darker version of that one.
Darker than that? I remember that one being pretty dark.
No, but this is like 30 years later with like more Hollywood ability to capture it, you know?
Okay.
And it's just tough to get through. Like, I'm already at the point. I only got through half of it. I'm like, okay, I just want to see the guys survive, like a few survive at the end kind of thing.
Wow,
but it's,
okay.
Yeah, it's a great
I'll have to check it out. Yeah. And was it good?
Oh,
or was it just kind of shocking?
It's not for everybody. Like, if you have anxiety or if you have a fear of flying, it's not really the movie for you kind of thing.
Alive was definitely one of those, my dad would want to watch it, so I definitely saw it as at an inappropriate age.
Inappropriate.
And I was probably like 5 or 6, and you're like, what are those guys eating, Dad?
It is an incredible story, and I believe some of those guys are still alive, because I think they're like in their 70s.
That's wild.
I'd have to check on it. Mike Pritchard joins us. No real artful segue to this, but he's a man who has taken a plane a time or two in his playing days. VSiN's own at MI Pritchard. Pritchard, by the way, on Twitter, a man who played the game. Pritch joins us now. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great. Doing great. How you guys doing?
Doing very well. You have a fear of flying you were letting us know about?
Yeah. I mean, it happened. I got scarred in college, man. We were, you know, back then, CU didn't have the biggest budget, the largest budget in the world. And I believe we chartered on a airline called Skyworld.
Oh, man.
I don't know if you guys ever heard that.
Nope.
But we quickly nicknamed it Die World because there were several times where it got dicey. They had to dump fuel. We were landing in Stapleton Airport at the time, not DIA, which is way out there outside of Denver. But we were flying over the city, and all of a sudden the captain comes on and says, oh, you know what? We can't get our landing gear down, so we're going to have to go out and dump some fuel just in case we crash land. He actually said that.
Oh, my God.
No big deal, guys.
We had to brace. I know we had to brace, so I got scarred. And so during my professional career, I had to get medicated because Seattle or Atlanta, you know, even Denver, some of the flights were very long. And so I had to get medicated.
Totally understand.
It's wild.
Yeah.
This is something I've always thought about, because you hear some of these stories every once in a while about an athlete that has, you know, problems with flying.
Sure.
And it's what can you do? It's your job. It's part of your job.
Yeah.
I took
You get medicated, KV.
Yeah.
You go to the trainer and you say, hey, look, man, I don't know if I can take this 4-hour flight. What can you help me out with? How can you help me out?
Years and years ago, I took a helicopter in Hawaii, right? To like Molokini and stuff. And I remember in that helicopter saying to myself, because you could tell it's really shaky and it gets close to the cliffs.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember saying, I'm like, if I land, I vow to never get in one of these again. Please let me, like, because you realize if something happens to the pilot, just one thing, done. You got no shot.
Anyway, nope, that's it.
Well, anyway, Glad you got through it, Mike.
Me too. Yeah. Absolutely.
That nickname is brutal. Okay. The first of these two games, I want to get your thoughts on this. First of all, you've had many a coach. I asked this of someone yesterday. I think I asked it of someone late in the show yesterday, but I'll ask it of you, which is the second game we'll start with. Kyle Shanahan really botched the end of the first half. He's had a lot of strange sort of postseason incidents. But that one at the end of the first half last week was as bad as it gets in terms of mismanaging the clock. And then you have Dan Campbell, had a few blunders, didn't challenge a call. You know, Baker Mayfield with his whole leg down, and that came back to haunt the Lions. Then they botched the whole end of the game with the snaps and the pass beforehand. Who's more likely? I'll put it this way. Who do you trust more? Like, who's the guy you worry about the most in this game?
Oh, wow. It could be Dan Campbell, but I'm going to say Kyle because, you know, Kyle has the ability to call an incredible football game. I mean, he is immensely talented as a play caller, guys. And for some reason, he doesn't do that. I mean, I know they rely on a running game and they have to, and they have to set up play action. I get that. But some of the times you're just looking, wait a minute, why don't you just let it rip? I mean, you got trust in your quarterback or don't you have trust in your quarterback? So that's where I fall. I mean, I don't know until Kyle had to trust Brock. And to your point against Green Bay, he didn't trust Brock. And Purdy was a little bit off at times, a little bit timid at times. But then he put it together at a key moment. He had his first game-winning drive, I believe, of the season for sure. I think it might be of his career too, but incredible moment right there. So maybe that unlocks something. Whereas Campbell, he has full trust in Jared Goff. So does Ben Johnson. I think they're going to have the whole playbook at their disposal. It's where will Jared Goff avoid those critical mistakes though, right? That's the question, the big question. But I don't know if I can trust Kyle as much as I should because of how great he is as a play caller.
Let me ask you about this, because as bettors, we like to say, you know, hey, look, the only players that really matter significantly to a point spread are starting quarterbacks being out. But there's the case of Debo here. You've actually played the game. You know what this means better than we do, which is, you know, he is lined up in so many different ways for that football team. And he's not just, it doesn't feel like he's one player, right? He's different players in one. To you, how much does he mean to a point spread, would you say?
I would say at least 2 points. I mean, here's a guy that with that offense, you know, it's interchangeable between him and Christian McCaffrey, right? So what they do is they gain advantages. Talking about San Francisco and Kyle and how he calls plays. He calls the same plays, but they dress it up differently. And personnel groupings too, because now as a defense, you have to match up. Are they in 3 wide receivers, which is 11 personnel, or are they in 2 running backs? Because Debo can play running back, right? And do you want to get heavier with your personnel defensively, or do you want to still play that nickel or dime packages that you probably practice with? So they cause problems that way from a matchup standpoint, and Debo certainly can do that. And on top of that, he's a dynamic player. I think he's at least 2 points to a spread there.
Sounds like if he's unable to go or if he's diminished in any way, that you would take the 7 if that's the number that you can get still up until game time. Well,
yeah, you know, I'm looking for a way to back Detroit. So I looked at the first half. You can get 4 right now or 7. In fact, if you want to do the whole game, because the variance and certainly, you know, the Lions, they're prone for mistakes on the road and all that. Are they capable of playing 60 minutes of perfect football to win it? Or can they play 30 minutes of perfect football? So I'm on the fence right there. The thing about the Lions, too, is you can make a strong argument that they could be the number one seed, or they should have been, right? Because they beat Dallas. I mean, let's face it. They beat Dallas. The referees kind of screwed that up. But yet, you know, San Francisco was in a situation where they didn't have to play their starters in that final game against the Rams. So at most, Detroit's a 2 seed. In my mind. So I think the spread is too wide there. I think they can get inside that number. They're built inside out, just like San Francisco. And then if you look at the skill positions, I think they match up pretty well as well in terms of creating some mismatches out there. So it's all about Goff. Can he play a perfect 60 minutes, or can you have the probability of him playing a perfect 30 minutes, which kind of gets you home there in the first half?
And then how do you feel about Patrick Mahomes, the Michael Jordan of all of this, catching more than three and a half, and it's teetering towards four now
Yeah.
at Baltimore? Or is this Baltimore's year, finally?
Yeah, I mean, it feels that way. You know, they're so ferocious defensively, Gil and Kelly. Offensively, they have the six eligibles, which gives anybody problems. I think three defenders are banged up, two key defenders for Kansas City's banged up right now. And that's going to be a problem. I believe Kansas City hit a ceiling with their offense. I mean, they're going to have to go two tight ends to kind of balance out a 3-4 defense too. And that's not really what they want to do. They don't have a fullback on their roster either. So they're going to be really conservative. It feels like, I don't know if they can threaten Baltimore vertically down the field with their wide receivers. So it's going to be one of those conservative games where Kansas City can get it in the fourth quarter and perhaps let the pressure mount on the Ravens. But if the Ravens just run away with this thing, which could happen early on, then it is the Ravens game to win right there.
Rich, I appreciate it. Glad you don't have to fly that airlines anymore. Thank you.
You know, yeah, it's out of business. So rightly so. It should be.
Mike Pritchard, everybody. Enjoy the games this weekend.
Hey, you too. You guys do the same. Take care.
At MI Pritchard for Mike, kind enough to join us here. By the way, I said or is this finally the Ravens year? And I'm like, it's been 11 years since they won the Super Bowl. I wish I rooted for a team.
That's
like, finally, 11 years later, we get back to the Super Bowl. Jeez. John Harbaugh trying to get there once again for the Ravens. Harbaugh and Reed on one side, and then Campbell and Shanahan on the other. Man, is this going to be good. We'll come back. Aaron Schatz putting the Ravens and Niners in historical perspective. And where do the Chiefs and Lions stack up against them? Through DVOA. Next, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network. With Omaha Steaks, you'll fall in love at first bite with their tender steaks, juicy burgers, air-chilled chicken, and more. Oh, the more. That's the part you really want right there. You're going to love every bite. It's Omaha Steaks guarantee. And for a limited time, when you go to omahasteaks.com/vsin, you'll get four free air-chilled boneless chicken breasts and four more, count them, four free rich, juicy boneless pork chops with your order. Minimum purchase may apply. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland. Live from Bar Canada here at the D. This gentleman is kind enough to join us every quarter during the NFL season. He comes on the Megapod. We get bonus coverage from him, which is really nice. I don't even know if that's in the contract. But ladies and gentlemen, he is the creator of the proprietary stat DVOA. He now is the Chiefs Analytics Officer, that is his title, over at FTN, in addition to being still the creator of DVOA. You can follow him on Twitter at AschatzNFL. That's S-C-H-A-T-Z. It's Aaron Schatz, everybody. How you doing, Aaron?
Hey, I'm good. I guess I'm the Chief Analytics Officer and the Chiefs Analytics Officer. I also analyze the Chiefs.
Oh, there you go. Well, we'll see what he did there. There you go. And we'll get to see you on Radio Row in a couple weeks as well. Bonus.
Yep, I'm going to Vegas. It's the first time that FTN has officially been covering the Super Bowl, and I will be in Vegas all week, so I'll be on Radio Row, and we'll talk about whichever of these two teams make it past Sunday.
That's right. Are you going to the game itself?
I am going to the game itself. This will be my fifth Super Bowl.
Fifth? Which was your first?
My first was Seattle and New England in 2014.
Oh, wow. Seattle, New England.
Yeah, that's a good one. When you're a New England fan, you should definitely try to go to the Super Bowl where your team makes the most important play in NFL history.
Can I just add, we weren't supposed to talk about this, but can I just ask you about that? Because my recollection of that moment, which I think gets lost in history, is I remember screaming at the TV. I was not, honored enough to be there. But I remember screaming at the TV, why isn't Belichick calling a timeout? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I felt
that?
The same way.
Yes.
Yep, I felt the same way.
He got so bailed out.
Was after the play, I screamed, he took his helmet off. Because if you remember correctly, there was a flag on the play. And the flag was for taking off the helmet while celebrating afterward.
Right.
And I was like, that play has to stand. He took his helmet off. That flag has to be for taking the helmet off.
Yeah. By the way, I hope everybody knows what we're talking about. Obviously, Russell Wilson getting picked by Malcolm Butler right at the goal line.
By win probability of winning the Super Bowl, That is the most important play in NFL history.
What was it, 99.7% at that moment? What was it?
Something ridiculous.
Something ridiculous.
Like 95% or something, yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of history, we didn't talk after Week 18. We talked before Week 18. So now that we get you after the regular season, obviously we're deep into the postseason, but where did the Ravens and Niners ultimately rank per the historical lens of DVOA in your final rankings this year?
So both teams dropped two spots when they sat their starters in Week 18. So the Ravens became the fifth best regular season team, and the 49ers were the eighth best regular season team since 1981.
Okay, 1981 is as far back as you've gotten the play-by-play.
Yep.
Still making efforts to go further back. And I'll ask
79 and 80. We'll have 79 and 80 this offseason.
Oh, so you got a Pittsburgh Steelers championship team in there. Oh,
yeah.
Boy. Okay, we'll see where they stack up. So I'll ask you the same follow-up that I did the last time is, so then remove the Aaron Schatz FTN cap and become Aaron Schatz the Football Observer. Does the fifth and eighth place of all-time rankings sort of seem right to you, or do you look at it a little with a little skepticism?
I think that people would look at it with skepticism because these teams have more losses than the teams that we think of as the greatest teams of all time. But what's important is not, I mean, if you want to argue they can't be among the greatest teams of all time because they lost three or four games, okay, you can argue that. But what's more important is the wins, especially for Baltimore, but also for San Francisco, that when they played other good teams, they won, and they won by a lot. The best indicator of a championship team is dominating wins. And even better than a dominating win over a bad team is a dominating win over a good team. I think Baltimore had something like 9 wins over winning teams by at least 14 points, like just completely ridiculous. So if you go back to some of the greatest teams in history, you'll see, you know, they had a lot of close wins that didn't end up losses, but they were not quite as dominating as this year's Ravens. This year's Ravens just kicked everybody's butt.
Yeah, and we can name them, right? Lions, Seahawks, yep. Niners, Dolphins, all good teams. Okay, and just off my memory, this is how well I know Aaron's, you know, rankings. 2007 Patriots, 1991 Skins, 85 Bears, and 2010 Patriots were the four ahead of the Ravens?
Are the top four regular season teams, yep.
Wow, that is some company to keep. Okay, so and by the way, those who are thinking, hey, is he going to tell us who he voted for? Aaron is not allowed, like none of the voters are allowed to talk about their votes for awards until after the February 8th ceremony takes place, which, by the way, seems like an eternity still from now. To wait for these.
Well, it's weird because we announce our all-pro votes.
Yes.
And the fact is that in some ways, all-pro votes are a little bit of a, you know, they sort of stand up for MVP voting in a little bit of a way. I mean, obviously, some of us could have voted for non-quarterbacks, but I can't talk about who I voted for any of the other awards.
Yeah, okay. By the way, do you take incoming for your all-pro thoughts? Does anybody ever give you guff for those?
Oh, I took a little bit this year, certainly because I put it out there, right?
Yeah.
After you know, I'm going to be really upfront. I'm the only person who didn't put Lamar Jackson on my all-pro ballot.
There you go.
Right? I didn't have him first team. Five people did not have him first team. But of those five, I'm the only one who didn't put him second team. And I wrote an entire article about why, and I went into great detail, and some people were angry about me for this, which I totally understand. Lamar Jackson is a great quarterback. I just felt there were two that were a little bit better this year.
Okay. Aaron, I believe, may have tipped his hand on MVP. Okay. Let's get back to the championship Sunday then. So, given what you've said about the Raiders and the Ravens and the Niners, pardon me, the Raiders fans wish, Niners by 7 against the Lions, Ravens currently 3.5 at home, giving 3.5 against the Chiefs. Where did the Chiefs and Lions fall in your rankings, and then how do those point spreads sort of mesh with that?
The Chiefs are 4th if you include the playoffs. They were 5th for the regular season. The Lions are 5th if you include the playoffs. They were 7th for the regular season. The Ravens-Chiefs line is based on the idea that Mahomes has magic powers. Like, let's all be really honest. If you look at how well these teams actually played during the year, that line should be larger. And I'm, you know, I do think Mahomes is great. I just don't think he has magic powers in the playoffs. He had a really good game against Buffalo. Fantastic. But the thing that made that game so good is not that Mahomes was any better than Mahomes usually is. It was that his receivers caught the ball. Do you want to bet on his receivers getting as open against a healthier Ravens defense? And do you want to bet on Marquez Valdes-Scantling catching those deep balls, which he had problems with all year?
Well, when you put it that way, yeah. So that number seems about right to you then, is what I'm getting?
No. This number is too low.
Too low.
I think this number is too low. It's based on the idea that Mahomes has magic powers. If you look at the actual difference between these teams during the regular season, this number should be higher.
How much higher?
I mean, 6 or 7?
Wow. Okay. The Lions and the Niners, which is at 7. You're a Brock Purdy guy, generally, if I recall.
I mean, I'm a San Francisco offense guy.
Okay.
I do think that Brock Purdy has his limitations, but I think he had a bad game. He seems to struggle particularly in the rain. That's not going to be an issue this week. So I think the line for San Francisco-Detroit is pretty right on.
Pretty right on. Well, if let's put it this way. If the Lions are able to beat the Niners, what do you see that game script being?
Outside runs, Jahmyr Gibbs running outside, and outside passes with the idea that, you know, because Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw muddy up the inside so much, but they get passes on the outside. Maybe Amon-Ra St. Brown runs more outside routes against Ambry Thomas than usual, and they hit him. And then Purdy throwing a pick or two.
And the coach you trust the least this weekend, I'm guessing it's from one of the two in the NFC games, in the NFC game.
Yeah, I mean,
what is it?
Kyle Shanahan is amazing at offensive scheming and offensive strategy, and he's terrible at game management. I mean, we were all swearing at the television at the end of the first half of the game last week.
It's amazing.
Terrible clock.
It's amazing. He heard that 65% of teams win when they have the ball last in the second half, and he like clung to that without optimizing the first part of that equation, right? Of the double.
The first half. It was the end of the first half where he was so scared that they would let the Packers score that he forgot to score himself.
That's right. It's unbelievable. Aaron, we'll see you in a couple weeks, man. Thank you so much.
See you in Vegas, man.
Aaron Schatz, everybody, creator of DVOA. How about that? Creating something like that.
Pretty
awesome
impressive
thing. Jason Weingarten will join us on the other side. His plays for Championship Week. And I feel a Barry Bonds rant coming on. I hope you check it out, our new website, vsin.com. It is sleek. It is good looking. It is gorgeous. Just look at this scanning right here. You got tennis pieces from Zachary Cohen. You got Mike Somich. How great was Mike Somich the other day on the show, by the way?
He was so great. He's coming back next Monday.
There you go. Talking NFL. As you pointed out, Stephanie Kamershack with their Chiefs, Ravens, and Lions, Niners first touchdown predictions for the conference championship game. That's on our new website again. Check it out. Check it out at vsin.com. We get tweets at Beating the Book. I always appreciate the feedback. I really do. Daytime degenerate. Where else can you get, he said, oh no, it just bounces on me. Where else can you get Nelly Furtado updates sprinkled with Bermuda grass breakdowns? I can't think of another place, daytime degenerate.
Damn straight, that's what we bring you.
Trust the glove. Some people are pigeons playing chess. They will crap on the board and walk around like they won. Just watch Purdy's ability to see the field. He's a big Purdy guy. John Burgo saying the look ahead line at several books on Niners Ravens is a pick.
Oh, interesting.
Already.
Okay.
Yeah. LDS. Oh, excuse me. Pardon me. Not LDS. Las Vegas 514. I see a nature documentary in your future. And then one day, one penguin took one step to the right. David King. Who's laughing harder? Reese Hopkins, Reese Hopkins' agent, or the members of the NL Central not named the Milwaukee Brewers? What he is referring to is that the Brewers signed Reese Hopkins to a deal. And the terms of which, Kelly, I should probably have been more on them beforehand, but it's a 2-year, $34 million deal for Reese Hopkins. Rick Olier, When will the Mega Penguin Pod be released? Hashtag let's ride. Coming up.
Yeah, I didn't know you were doing all this voiceover work off to the side. You're like, what, you're one of those Morgan Freeman impersonators out there? That's what you are.
Deepak 48. I don't think I'll ever forget the phrase Kelly Bidlin just said. Ooh, Dad, what are they eating? Kelly and I were just talking about this off air. Is this okay to talk about on it?
I don't care.
I said that in extreme heat, I think I would survive longer than most. But in extreme cold, I'd be the dude they start eating. And your response was?
No matter the situation, I'd quit within the first 10 minutes.
Kelly would just quit.
Like, whatever the, you know, whatever leader was like, all right, guys, like, we all got to band together and start rationing food. And who's going to go get firewood? I'd just be off the corner like, we're all dead. I'm sitting over here until I die.
Way to keep it positive. Yeah. You'd be a great tennis player. Like, just get down as soon as you lost a point. Corey Henderson, 775 Gil. We binge watched American Nightmare on Netflix last night. It's based on a true story and more twists than a corkscrew. By the way, don't bet against the new GOAT, Mr. Mahomes. Well, he's not just the new GOAT. I have gotten more than one recommendation on American Nightmare.
Really?
People say it's fantastic. Absolutely.
Show? Movie?
Netflix. Yeah. Doc. I believe it's a doc. Maybe I could be wrong. Maybe it's not a doc.
No, you're right. Yep.
Okay.
Netflix documentary.
Ladies and gentlemen, it comes to us from under a cloud of smoke in Southern California. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. It's the always fascinating Jason Weingarten. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. How about you guys?
Doing very well.
How long do you think you'd survive on a desert island?
That's right. How long do you think you'd survive in extreme cold or extreme heat?
Well, I was a scout, so I mean, maybe 36 hours till I give up.
Scout.
I'd make it one night and then probably just lay in the sun and die.
Oh, those shows where like the person's out in the jungle and it's just him and like wild animals and they get out there for 7 days. I'd be like, oh, dude, there's no chance.
Yeah,
no. I'm out. I'm out. All right. Speaking of wild animals, the lions.
Are either of you guys confident you can make a fire in the wilderness?
Confident? No.
Confident?
No, it would be a sheer act of God.
This should be a Beeson survivor. You know, we have to go out and start a fire and hunt and forage for food. See who makes it the longest. Put a million bucks on it. It'd be great. People would watch it.
I don't even know who the favorite is.
I'm just so abused by Kelly over there. Like, where's Kelly? He's over there screaming at the tree. He's so angry.
You're like, try to make a fire. I mean, literally, I would give it 8 minutes, and I'd be like, no, there's no way I'm doing this. I quit. I'm going to lie here until I'm dead.
Hey, Kelly, little help. We're trying to live here. Kelly's like,
no.
Go to hell.
Me and this coconut are hanging out.
That's right. All right, Jason, what do you got in these games? What do you like with the first one, the Ravens and the Chiefs?
A good game. Taking the Chiefs again. Last week I said, give me Mahomes as a dog. It worked out. It was a pretty good game, I'd say. Could have gone either way, but it was fun. Chiefs won. I'll take him as a dog again. And then the Lions game, I saw this morning, I saw David Purdom tweet that MGM Moneyline on the Lions is the most popular bet this weekend, which makes sense. It also makes me think that the value is probably on the 49ers money line here. We get that situation where big games, the public kind of takes the dog on the money line. So
just talking,
if you really
want
to shop around, probably lay a good price on the 49ers money line. I also expect at 7, the 49ers is going to be a huge teaser leg. Everyone's going to have 49ers in a teaser. So that game, I don't know. I mean, like I've said many times, Jared Goff could be holding the Lombardi trophy on the stage at the Super Bowl, and I'll be telling you how much I don't believe in him. But that said, I'm going to bet on him this week, and I'm joining the public with the Lions money line, as dumb as it might sound. Jared Goff's like one of the top 10 highest paid players in NFL history, I think.
Yes.
Top 15. It's unbelievable. If I told you how much money he's made, would you believe he's made at least $161 million in the NFL?
Yes, because this is how, when these quarterbacks are signed to the big deal after their rookie contract, this is what it is. It's that big. Yeah, absolutely.
But imagine like just, you know, a system, a world where you're telling somebody Jared Goff's a top 10 earner in the sport. It's unbelievable, but you know, if he is what he's supposed to be, then he should go out there and take another team to the Super Bowl. which again is, it would actually be pretty impressive. It's not a necessarily an easy thing to, you know, take two separate teams to a Super Bowl. So really got to give Goff a little bit of credit for as much as we kind of, you know, give him crap, or I give him crap. You know, he's done well his career.
Jason, this is good. This is great. In the span of 3 minutes, you went from hating Jared Goff to talking yourself into that you probably are a little too harsh on him. That was very good. Well done. I think you're right. I mean, look, I was the first person to say, like, you know, with the Rams, I was like, hey, they should start over with the quarterback. This would be, you know, even, you know, they should do this whole new structure where they don't pay this guy all this money. In the end, they paid him and they traded him. But yeah, like, it's, he's on the cusp of a second Super Bowl appearance. So you got to give him some credit, right? He's the quarterback in both cases. And
there's only a couple quarterbacks who have ever done that. Anyways.
Yeah, no. So you are taking, now I'm going to be on the Niners. So, you know, I think the Lions, I think the Niners show up in this game. Debo would help, for sure he would help, but it doesn't appear that there's rain in the forecast. I think that really bothered Brock Purdy in this ball game. As you look ahead now here, so you just took the thing with Mahomes where you're like, well, look, you didn't want to get in front of him. You took him against, with the points against the Bills. You're not getting in front of that. You're taking him. Did I hear correctly? You're taking him again with the points against the Ravens. I am, so, and we had a whole thing where Kelly was, you know, doing a whole, my, you know, a shameful thing that he went against Mahomes, and so he was just blasting himself on air. I was on your side last week. Now I'm in the Kelly camp that he was in last week, where I'm like, yeah, but this is the Ravens. I think that they're going to get it done. And then I could very well end up being Kelly this week, is I guess what I'm saying. Do you feel like, because we just had Aaron Schatz on, he's like, okay, everybody slow down, I'm paraphrasing, about the Mahomes magic of the postseason. You don't see it that way.
I mean, I totally understand the point, and the you know, I would point out the Super Bowl with the Bucks, where, you know, the Bucks just came in and smashed them. And if you bet on the Chiefs that day, you probably lost a lot of money. You know, I'm not going crazy here, but I'm still backing Mahomes. If he loses, like, it wouldn't surprise me, but I think it's going to be a close game. Either way, I think, you know, you're looking at fourth quarter, somebody's driving in a, with a lead change. But I know we're running out of time, so I wanted to ask you a question real quick.
Please.
What do you think about the Warriors game tonight, coming off the layoff? It's a weird situation in season for an NBA team to be coming off like a week layoff like this. And, you know, there's also the personal circumstances and everything.
Yeah, well, it's the personal circumstances, right? It's an assistant coach who really in front of you, right, in front of you, has this horrific medical event. And so the Warriors hosting the Hawks. By the way, the Warriors, DeJounte Murray talk, did that just go away in all of this?
Like, no, DeJounte Murray's just been linked to every single team in the NBA, yeah.
So they're playing the Hawks, and they're 6.5-point favorites. I mean, to be honest with you, Jason, to answer your question honestly, I don't think there's a playbook for this, right? There's no script for this. I have no idea. I have no idea how they feel. You know, do they come out, you know, like, you know, it's behind them in the rearview mirror, or are they still somewhat affected? I don't know. I'm not touching it. Wouldn't touch this game. You?
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting situation. I'll probably check it out tonight. Since I noticed it was...
Do you have anything on this?
My initial look was to Golden State, too. But
Golden State,
I,
lay the points.
I ended up scratching it off.
Yeah. Why? I mean, why get involved? Jason, appreciate it. Enjoy the games this weekend, sir.
Thank you. I'll talk to you guys later this week. Have fun.
Jason Weingarten, everybody, at Spreadopedia. We'll come back. We touched on the MVP yesterday, but not at length. We'll do that on the other side, and Barry Bonds next. VSiN experts to work for you and start betting smarter with the VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Get your first year for only $199. Just use promo code ANG. Get access to everything on our brand new VSiN.com website, plus our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video access, plus our upcoming Super Bowl betting guide with best bets and favorite prop bets. Remember to use promo code ANG, y'all.
ANG, that's A numbers game.
Get your first year of Visa Pro access for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Scott Weston. Hey, Gil, does Kelly ever watch the VSiN commercial and think that Adam Burke is such an under actor? He doesn't shake his head, blink, or anything, LOL, as opposed to Kelly, who's so overacted.
I haven't seen Adam's. Does Adam have a special one like Bill does now, or is Adam part? Were we talking about Adam's part in Bill's?
Oh, I don't know.
I think Adam has his own now. I haven't seen it.
Oh no,
so sorry, I can't. But yes, that's a fair description of the difference between me and Adam Burke. Anyways,
Mariners geek, check out Naked and Afraid, sick survival show. Deepak 48. Hey, Naked and Afraid. Oh no, he's calling Naked and Afraid and telling him we want to sign up. That's not good. And then Brian M says, "Hey, feel like JVT would be the VSiN host survivor favorite. People of a certain ilk involving plants tend to be very crafty and resourceful." And JVT chimes in, "I've crafted many a smoking vessel of different odds and ends, Stoner MacGyver." Okay.
I think I finally figured out
two
who I'd bet on to survive the long.
Me too. You want to say that on three at the same time?
All right, sure.
Okay, it's gonna be 1, 2, 3, go. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Greg Peterson.
Greg Peterson. It's Greg Peterson. It's Greg.
Yeah.
Only because, like, I know he runs like a marathon a day.
Yeah, like the sun won't affect him.
The sun won't affect him.
Yeah.
He's constantly burnt because he's running a marathon a day.
Oh, he'd totally win.
He would absolutely win. I'm not even sure how long he'd survive. He'd just survive longer than everybody else.
All right. Yesterday, the baseball voters, in all their infinite wisdom, came up with three new Hall of Famers. Congratulations to Todd Helton, to Adrian Beltre, and to Joe Mauer for their induction into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Every year when this happens on this show, I have myself a little rant, and so there was a bunch of folks on Twitter yesterday saying, "Oh, I can't wait for the Barry Bonds rant tomorrow." Well, you know what? We have video of it from every year that I've ever done this show. So randomly, Kelly has picked last year's. Here it goes, a little something like this. Every year at this time, I have my same rant. If Barry Bonds is not in your Hall of Fame, Major League Baseball, you might as well not have a Hall of Fame. And I saw that passing, wrote something about this morning. I've been saying this for years. This is the deal with halls of fame, if I may. We are caretakers of what essentially is a museum for a sport. We pass it on to future generations. It is not our place to be so arrogant to determine for future generations who they even get to see in that hall of fame. If you want to put a plaque by Barry Bonds or a plaque by Pete Rose or whatever that explains to future generations what it is that they had as a scandal during their careers, or in the case of Pete Rose, post-career as well, then you're welcome to do that. But to eradicate them from the museum entirely is absolutely the height of arrogance. And these people who vote, the baseball writers or whoever has Hall of Fame votes who keep Barry Lamar Bonds out of baseball, this is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And I could go on, and I think I will, Jeff, just for those who don't understand what we're talking about. We're talking about a guy who at baseball might have been better than Michael Jordan was at basketball. Let me just put it that way. Craig Biggio's in the Hall of Fame. He drove in 1,175 runs in his 20-year career. 1175. Barry Bonds' home runs alone drove in 1174. Jeff, you'll stop me when you get tired with all this stuff. You ready? You tired yet? I could go on. 2001 to 2004, Fangraphs WAR. Expos 30.7, Detroit 30.9, Royals 31, Brewers 45.3, New York Mets 46.6, Barry Lamar Bonds 46.6. Oh, there's more. Most intentional walks in baseball history. Bonds, 688. Second place, Pujols, 292. 26.3% of Barry Bonds' 12,606 career plate appearances ended with a home run or walk. 26.3%. Because they were terrified of him. And when he got the one pitch, he parked it. Anyway, there's tons of these.
49.1% of his career hits, 2,935, by the way, almost 3,000, were extra base hits. Let me just cut to the chase and go to the greatest Barry Bonds stat there is. How about that? In the year 2004, Barry Bonds reached base 376 times. Do you know how many at-bats he had, Jeff? He reached base 376 times. He had 373 at-bats. No player in the history of Major League Baseball ever reached base more times than he had ABs. By the way, you know who second and third on that list is? Barry Lamar Bonds in 2002 and Barry Lamar Bonds in 2003. Do you know who's seventh and tenth on that list? Barry Bonds and Barry Bonds, 2001, 2007. Anyway, you get the idea. Stop with this. Stop with being so arrogant to keep this guy out of the Hall of Fame.
Smart kid, that guy. That guy was pretty good.
Oh, he was.
What's with the long pauses? Was Parles unable to speak in those pauses? What was happening there?
I don't know. Jeff was busy in the back producing. Okay, wow. Cut him some slack.
Anyway, that was 2022. Every year, we'll go about 2021 next year. Whatever.
It's so true.
It's so true. It's just, and I just want to say this last thing. If you're on MLB Network and you have to gleefully be like Joe Mauer, who did have three batting titles as a catcher. Congratulations. But you have to be like, I can't believe, because this doesn't mean anything anymore. Anyway, there it is. MVP, Super Bowl MVP.
Who was it real quick? Helton and Mauer?
Todd Helton, Joe Mauer, and Adrian Beltre.
Was Mauer the other Florida State quarterback prospect? There's multiple there. So it wasn't Helton?
Oh, Helton was a multi-sport athlete also.
Yeah.
Helton was Tennessee.
Football. Did I say baseball? I meant football.
Helton was Tennessee, yeah. Wasn't he Tennessee, I believe? Yeah.
Yeah, I think he was recruited by Florida State, though.
MVP for the Super Bowl. Super Bowl 58, by the way, if you're scoring at home. That's how far we've gotten on this. We touched on it real briefly yesterday, but I just wanted to flesh it out a little bit. Lamar Jackson, again, we don't know the teams yet, but Lamar Jackson is the short shot. Again, this is correlated to what the lines are this week and who is likely to go. He's plus 220. Brock Purdy is plus 330. If those are your starting quarterbacks for the favorites this week, that makes sense. Then it's Christian McCaffrey at plus 350, followed by the other two quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes and Jared Goff. So Christian McCaffrey wedged in between the four potential quarterbacks. Everybody else is 50-1 or longer. Now, we were saying yesterday, or at least I was about, because I got a question about Nick Bosa. Hey, is Nick Bosa at 50-1 or longer? Is that worth a shot? And my comment was, even if you think the Niners are getting there, they're so stacked offensively, and you would assume that Debo would be back if he's not back even this week for that. There's too many options, right? McCaffrey, Debo, Purdy. That for Bosa to win it, you'd have to almost imagine a game script where those guys were muted on offense and Bosa did all kinds of amazing things. So yeah. I couldn't possibly bet at him at any number.
I mean,
frankly.
Every year there's always the one defensive guy who's brought up, right? One wide receiver who's brought up, and they get bets.
Whereas in the case of Mahomes, as we mentioned yesterday, if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, I mean, who else is getting it, right? It's Mahomes.
So I pulled up Super Bowl odds.
Kelsey would be the only other person you consider.
Yeah, I don't even think he'd have a chance.
I don't think so either.
I think it's more likely that a Chiefs defender somehow would win it before Kelsey would, because Mahomes would always get it before Kelsey.
Remember when was the running back the year when the Chiefs won it and everyone was convinced he was going to get it and then Mahomes still got it?
Oh, yeah.
So there, I mean, that's the thing.
Going back to what Aaron Schatz said about the power of Patrick Mahomes, plus 380, that's the Chiefs' odds to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So they're the same thing.
So you can't bet this by
there's
proxy.
There's no reason to bet
this.
There's no
Patrick proxy Mahomes bet here. There used to be it many years before, right? And if we did this earlier, there'd be some proxy bets, but they don't put these up as early.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think the two that we can isolate, you got to throw out the Chiefs one because you get better odds to win the Super Bowl. I would throw out the Niners because there is a chance I think Brock or McCaffrey could actually win that.
If you were forced to make a bet right now, what's your bet?
Lamar Jackson.
I think I'd go McCaffrey plus 350. Okay. Just for a little extra bang for my buck. But it's murky. It's not like there's one that leaps off the page. In past years, there has been. Not this year. as I glance at it now.
Yeah, that's, the only thing that's tough with Niners, you don't know how voters are going to look between Purdy and him, right? Right.
But he would be the guy if it's a non-quarterback. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.